Last month, the South Dakota Academic Freedom Bill died in the Senate Election Committee by a vote of 4-2. Those who testified in favor of the bill include Dr. William Harris, a biochemist who holds a faculty position at the Samford School of Medicine at the University of South Dakota, and Casey Luskin, the research coordinator at Discovery Institute. In this segment, you'll hear the testimony presented by Dr. Harris in support of the bill.
A production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Good morning, Bill, and welcome.
Thank you. Good morning yourself. Bill Harris is my name. Madam Chair, honorable members of the Senate Education Committee, I'd like to speak in favor of 114. My name is Bill Harris. Before expressing my thoughts on the bill, I need to take a little time to establish my scientific credentials, since the need for this bill hinges precisely on the question of whether or not important scientific controversies exist in the areas of biological evolution, appearance of life on this planet, etc. If the committee can be persuaded that they do exist, as I believe they do, then the question of whether teachers should be able to objectively discuss them with their students is settled. Of course, they should be able to. After earning an undergraduate degree in chemistry, I spent the next 5 years obtaining a PhD in nutritional biochemistry from the University of Minnesota, doing my dissertation work at the Mayo Clinic. I spent the next 4 years at the Oregon Health Sciences University in Portland doing postdoctoral fellowships in clinical nutrition and lipid metabolism. Since that time, I've served on the faculties of 3 medical schools, University of Kansas, the University of Missouri, Kansas City, and I'm currently on the faculty at Stanford School of Medicine, University of South Dakota. I'm also the president of a clinical laboratory called OmegaQuant in Sioux Falls. Academic scientists typically measure their success in terms of the number of peer-reviewed publications that they write and the number of research grants that they obtain. To date, I've published about 270 papers in the peer review literature, and I've been awarded 5 5-year grants from the National Institutes of Health to study the effects of omega-3 fatty acids, fish oils, on human health. All of this is simply to say that I know something about how to do science. I know how to use logic when I perform and interpret my experiments. These are basic skills for a scientist. I've been practicing them for nearly 40 years now. I know firsthand what natural laws can do, and more importantly, what they can't do without the guidance and direction of a scientist. So with that background, let me turn to the bill. Under question, to paraphrase, the bill allows teachers to present relevant scientific information on controversial topics that are already in the curriculum without fear of harassment, reprimand, or discipline. So in the end, this bill will make it possible for students to understand, analyze, critique, review strengths and weaknesses of current theories. So why do we need such a bill? Unfortunately, when it comes to important subjects like unguided evolution or the spontaneous origin of life, most students today are not hearing all the facts. They are only hearing one side of the story, the side that supports the materialistic theories, not the evidence that challenges it. Facts that contradict the standard model are common knowledge in the scientific community, but they are rarely mentioned to students. This is not education, it's indoctrination. Some people may try to tell you that there is no evidence against the modern theory of evolution, so there is nothing that can be taught. As a trained biochemist, I completely disagree with that. There's no question in my mind there are serious scientific challenges to both the theory of spontaneous appearance of life from a chemical soup and the theory that all of the diversity of life is the result of natural selection acting on random mutation, which is the modern version of Darwin's theories, also called neo-Darwinism. So where do these challenges come from? Well, they come from science itself. Science has moved on since 1859, Darwin's day. Darwin knew nothing about the breathtaking complexity and the inner workings of cells. He knew nothing about the encyclopedic amounts of information carried in DNA. He could not possibly have known that one day experiments would show that it's impossible to convert one cell type into another by undirected natural processes. So the more we learn about the laws of biochemistry and genetics, the more incredible, that means unbelievable, becomes the idea that life and its diversity arose by, quote, millions of years of molecules in mindless motion. That's not a recipe for life, it's a recipe for chaos. Hence, scientific advancements have shown us that neo-Darwinism simply cannot explain the complexity of life as we understand it now. When I personally examine the evidence regarding biological evolution and the origin of life, I conclude that since unguided processes are not up to the task, some kind of intelligent agent had to be involved somewhere along the line. So my personal opinion is that the evidence supports the theory of intelligent design. But intelligent design is not part of the science curriculum. Therefore, this bill, which focuses only on what's in the curriculum, would not protect teachers who want to teach intelligent design. Similarly, this bill would not protect the teaching of creationism. There are two reasons for this. Creationism is a religious view. This bill does not protect the teaching of religious topics. And number two, creationism is not part of the science curriculum. So neither intelligent design, which is not a religious view, or creationism are allowed under this bill. Darwinian evolution, however, is in the curriculum currently, and so this bill would protect the teaching of evidence both for and against it. I hope my testimony has persuaded you that at least one legitimate scientist is convinced that real controversies exist around these terribly important theories, and therefore that teachers in South Dakota should be free to discuss them. But I'm not alone in my belief. I will provide you at the end here a copy of what's called the Dissent from Darwin statement, which is a statement that says, quote, "We are skeptical of claims for the ability of random mutation and natural selection to account for the complexity of life. Careful examination of the evidence for Darwinian theories should be encouraged," close quote. Now, this statement's been signed by over 900 scientists with earned doctoral degrees, myself included. Many of us who signed this document put ourselves at significant professional risk for daring to openly question orthodoxy. In 2011, the chairman of a scientific meeting at which I was giving a talk in Washington was contacted by, he told me this before the meeting, he was contacted by an unnamed person who told him that I was a Darwin doubter and that perhaps I should be disinvited from the meeting. Well, he knew me well enough to ignore the suggestion, but the fact that the accusation was even made is telling. Charles Darwin wrote in 1859 in his famous Origin of Species book, quote, "A fair result can be obtained only by fully stating and balancing the facts and arguments on both sides of a question." What Senate Bill 114 allows is for teachers to follow Darwin's advice. It lets students have access to all the facts and arguments about controversial theories. This will help them better understand these topics and will develop those critical thinking skills that they will need to become scientifically literate citizens. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to express my support, and I'll stand by for questions at the end.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute 2015. For more information, visit www.intelligentdesign.org or www.idthefuture.com.